welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same numbers Mondays. That means Mondays with Sandy Williams. We're talking about, you know, again, the easy accessibility to guns and all the carnage that has been taking place in urban centers around the nation. And not just that, Sandy, as you talked about, all of the people who have been committing suicide and with those guns. We were talking off the break about when you buy a gun, you had better understand that there are a lot of responsibilities that go along with it. And I think in some instances, Sandy, I've talked to a lot of people who've never owned guns who now are saying, well, I got a gun for protection. And so more guns have been bought since Obama, Joe Biden, the just record numbers of guns that have been purchased and continue, you know. People aren't giving this much thought, you know, and I talk with people, I got it, as you stated, for protection. I'm going to be protecting myself. Well, okay. The chances of you, somebody walking up to you and you being able to reach in your holster and pull it out and protect yourself.
Well, look, we have 400 million guns in the United States. And like I said, people would be very hard pressed to go out and find any evidence whatsoever of people, of those 400 million gun owners, who have used their guns successfully in their own self-defense. And we, you know, you can know that simply anecdotally. How many times have you read in the newspaper of a gun being successfully used in self-defense? I mean, it happens occasionally, but it's statistically an insignificant number of uses as compared to all the other uses of that gun at the time the gun is fired. If we looked at the percentage of pistols that were fired not at a range, but rather fired in use, being fired at something in particular for a purpose that was related to self-defense, I think we'd find out that that gun is used and fired for purposes of non-self-defense injury, whether suicide being a very primary, or injury to some related person, whether it be a child killing another child, or a parent or a spouse pulling the gun on a fellow spouse at a time of great anger. Those guns are not used for defense statistically. So people who say that they're getting a gun for defense are fooling themselves. And the world is fooling itself by thinking that all these guns are making the world safer in some respect. And it's not all the world, because mainly this is sort of an American preoccupation, and it's American theory, and it's an American theory which has not ever been tested with a hard statistical evaluation. And I think it's such an emotional, sociological theory that even in the face of evidence, it wouldn't probably bend.
You know, Sandy, there are children in Milwaukee in urban centers across the nation, 12 years old, who have handguns. And I know that in rural areas, you know, there are kids 10, 12 years old who have rifles because they hunt in those kinds of things. And nobody's opposed to that. You know, you're in a rural area, that's a part of the climate in those areas. That's a part of their life, right? That's what they do. They hunt in many instances in these rural areas. But when children 10 to 12 years old have access to a handgun, my thing is, we know that the guns get into our community. Many of us know how. Those guns come into our community by outside forces who bring those guns into our neighborhoods. We know that they're brought, that they're sold in at gun shows. We know that. We know that it doesn't make any sense that, you know, if I wanted to go buy a gun from a licensed dealer, I've got to do the background checks and all of those things. By law, But then, Sandy, I can take that same gun that I had to do background checks and the 48 hours or 24 hours, and I can sell it to anybody without the same thing. How does that make sense?
Well, it doesn't make sense. And the notion, you know, the 400 million guns is an estimate of how many we have, because we don't know how many we have. And I assure you that we have no knowledge of who owns most of those 400 million guns. Most of them are out there available to be trafficked and are trafficked, you know, from one person to another, unbeknownst to any authorities. So, you know, these guns exist. They're pretty readily available. And hundreds of millions of them are pistols.
Right.
And pistols are not accurate weapons to be used other than at close quarters, and are basically weapons of to be utilized human being on human being.
You know, Sandy, the notwithstanding the 10 unfortunate souls that were murdered in Boston over the weekend, when the guy in Vegas killed 49 people, you can't even, you know, think about that. And yet nothing was done to change anything at that point.
Oh, yeah. I think there was a bump stock.
Oh, yeah,
We all learned what a bump stock was, and I think bump stocks were possibly made illegal.
I'm
not sure it's stuck.
No, right, they're back.
Yeah.
But my point is, if we couldn't do something about a man killing 49 innocent people, the chances are there's not going to be anything done about, you know, this guy killing the 10 that in Boston. Nothing points to any of that ever changing in our country, Sandy.
We've got two issues. We've got the issue that Pat Connaughton was highlighting, you know, the protect kids, not guns, on his T-shirt. And so we've got the guns, which are the instrument of the violence. But then we also have, what is the reason for the violence? You know, why did this guy, and he was at least of the sort that wanted to write and explain to the world his craziness and why it was that he was using his gun, which was this the great substitution theory, the premise that apparently there is a conspiracy ongoing by the elites to replace the white population of this country with non-whites and to secure political power and what have you for non-whites at the expense of the whites, and that there was a need therefore to expunge non-white people to get to fight this conspiracy and the results of it. And to me, that was a very telling thing, because it pointed out, Tucker Carlson's talking about substitution theory, but I think a lot of what Americans are debating, and a lot of the Trump movement, a lot of it is an underlying sociological fear that the fabric of America is being torn. And I think lots of people would talk in that respect without understanding that maybe even in their own subconscious what they're talking about is the racial change of America, which they view superficially as being a change in the fabric of American society.
So listen, we've got to go to a break. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back.